Peace, party people. Welcome to episode 146 of Where My Killer Tape At. I know it's been a minute, but we here. I also brought a special guest, a reoccurring special guest, the homie KDB Fly. And we're going to be doing Wakanda Forever. There's going to be a lot of spoilers. And we're going to be coming from a Latinx perspective. It'll probably not be the only podcast episode I do on Wakanda Forever. But shout out to KDB Fly. This was her idea to come from this perspective. Check it out. Killer Tape At, B. Peace, party people. Welcome to another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. And yes, we are going to be talking about Wakanda Forever. Now, there's probably be more episodes on this because we want to talk about it from a particular perspective. And I have the big homie, KDB Fly, in the house. How you doing?
What's up? I'm good. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. A busy week. I just got an award from my peers for Teacher of the Week, so I'm really geeked about that.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, I did not see that coming. I was like, oh, snap. And I'm still high off of that. And it's Taco Tuesday, so I got you Tuesday some jerk chicken tacos. She didn't see that coming.
That was nice of you. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. So it was having a pretty good week. And then, you know, I appreciate you because I've been trying to put together. I haven't put an episode out since October. Mm-hmm. And then you came through and was like, hey, let's do this on Black Panther from the Latinx perspective. And I was like, dope, let's do it. So thank you for that, for putting the battery in my back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I kind of feel like this is sort of our jam. Like, this is what we do. I know we've had a couple conversations already, like in regards to colorism and the Latinx community and things like that. So I felt like this was sort of up that alley, and I don't know. I thought it would be dope to do kind of like a deep dive into it.
Definitely. So just to warn the audience, there will be some spoiler alerts. I will try not to geek out because it's not a geek out episode. We want to come from the Latinx perspective and then also talk about the colonialism part of the story. So we're going to not really geek out as usual, but there will be some spoilers.
Yeah.
So overall, my first question is, overall, how did you like the movie?
I loved it. I mean, so I only saw it once. I'm probably going to try and see it again and take my oldest to go see it. Okay. But I really kind of just wanted to see it by myself. Like, I just wanted to go in and have that experience just by myself. So I loved it. I will say that I've sort of done one deep dive into it with someone else. And after talking to him, he brought up like some really good points that I wasn't even paying attention to because I was just so, I just think I felt so proud, I guess, mm-hmm. to have like this representation on the screen that I could more fully relate to, I guess, in Namor's character. Right. So I kind of like, I mean, I was like, I walked out of the theater like, oh my God, this is like the best movie that I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
So, but you know, but now having some time to reflect and stuff like that, I can pick apart little things, I guess, that I have questions on. Not that it was bad at all, right? But mm-hmm. I think just that I have questions on.
I just wanted to say that I loved it. I mean, I've seen it three times. I loved it. I'm going to go see it again. I really enjoyed it much better than the first one. And I think, shout out to Ryan Coogler, because what happened was he had wrote the script, finished the part two, and then he was going to actually show it to Chadwick Boseman. And when he called Chadwick Boseman, that's when he found out that he died. Man. So he had to rewrite the whole thing. So, and at the same time, he had to introduce Namor, which I love, because I was wondering how they were going to do it, because Namor is actually the first Marvel character.
That's what I've been reading into. I mean, yeah, like I said, I'm definitely not a Marvel head like you are. Like, I don't know all the history and stuff, but I did read that.
He's white. He's white.
Correct. So fair skin.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was wondering how they were gonna do him because, they had already done. You know, DC had already done Aquaman. So if they did Atlantis and Namor, they just would have been so many comparisons. So I really loved how Ryan Coogler did it. Like, I really liked, like, oh wow, you know, because in the comic book, Namor is okay. I like his character, but he's not like somebody on my. He's a mutant, by the way, but he's not somebody that I'm like, oh, you got to check out Namor, because there's no really good stories about him other than when he's in the Fantastic Four and that he got beef with Wakanda. That's the only thing in the comics that's interesting. So Ryan Coogler took a character that is not the best character and made him really enjoyable. And then, you know, introducing Tenoch Huerta was just really fucking dope. Like, I thought, like, he was just impressive. Last time I saw him, he was in Narcos, Mexico. He played the drug lord, unfortunately.
Right.
Something he talks about a lot. And then I didn't realize he's in the Forever Purge. So I'm going to go see that.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in that. He was also in a movie, and I'm forgetting the name of it. I want to say it was called Sin Nombre. It was a film in Spanish.
Yes.
And he played like a gang member. Okay. I don't know if you're aware of that, but like face tattoo, like whole thing.
Because I know that he's been in a lot of, you know, in Latin America, he's very well known.
Yeah.
He's a very known actor. So he's done a lot of stuff that, you know, I don't watch. And but it also introduced Mabel Cadena as Namora.
Yeah, I loved her.
And she's somebody else who's like a pretty well-known star in Latin America. She did freaking great. And then I hope to see her character more in other MCU movies. And then character that I'm not really a fan of in the comic book, Atuma. I loved him in this. I loved him in this. He's played by Alex Libianelli.
Yes, and he's actually from Venezuela, correct?
Yes. And he's been in Ozarks, and he's, you know, playing the drug lord, of course. And he's also been in Walking Dead. So this is actually for a lot of these characters, in the US, this is like probably one of their first roles where they weren't playing the stereotypical Latinx character. You know, which is usually a drug lord, or the woman is, a sex object. You know, it's like,
yeah,
this
right,
is like
exactly.
The first, you know, the first time where they're like, you know, we're gonna let you play somebody. You're like, oh, and again, I hope to see these characters again throughout the MCU. I think it'll be really dope to see them. I know Namor is gonna be in it, but I hope to see like how they do the other minor characters and the other. Places like Wakanda Forever, like they had the Dora Milaje and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I hope to see Atuma and Namora in other shows as well. So
right, well, and as you said, it's really a huge credit and shout out to Ryan Coogler, because I feel like he's had such a hand in obviously the script, and I'm going to assume the casting as well, right? Like,
yes.
I think he did a phenomenal job in the casting with every character, right? Not just
yes.
those.
Yes. No, but I think with Tenoch Huerta, like, because he picked him. He, you know, the casting director, like, this guy would be good. He's the one that called him. Ryan Coogler called him and was like, hey, can you swim? You know, Tenoch Huerta tells that story over and over. You know, can you swim? He's like, well, I never drowned.
Right.
And he picked him. But I think, like, I love the fact that Tenoch Huerta. I just love the fact that when he's on our side talking, doing interviews, he's doing the typical Disney interview. Yay, ha, 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 you know. But then when he's on a Spanish channel joints, he's like going in on colorism,
man.
You know, racism. Like, he's going the fuck in. And I'm just like, bro, you killing it. I love this. He picked the right person, you know.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Tenoch goes hard. And so did you see this viral video of like these journalists or anchors in Mexico who were talking about Tenoch being casted in this role? Have you seen this?
I've seen the ones where they're accusing him of like stealing a role and all of that, and
atrocious. I mean, it's wild, but for those who haven't seen it, there's basically these journalists, and I don't want to speak for all of, you know, journalists and those in the media in Mexico, but these particular ones were basically just saying like he only got the role because of his brown slash dark skin, and oh my gosh, now what about us? Like, are fair skinned Mexicans going to be cast in roles? I mean, it was the most ridiculous, crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't even have words for it, right? I'm just like, what is going on? But you know, are we surprised? No, because we know how it is in our Latinx communities here in the States, right? We have this issue of colorism within our community. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's probably even worse. Like when you go into like the homeland, like Mexico, the DR, wherever. I mean, it's just wild.
It is. It's the stuff that they're saying is like ridiculous. And I'm glad that he's like, because he could easily not have addressed it and been, you know, but I like that he's addressing it. And not only is he addressing that, he's also addressing how Hollywood casts Latinx characters, right?
Yes.
You know, he's addressed that as well. Like, you know, he's like, why is it that a lot of roles that a lot of us get coming from South America, you know, Central and South America, when we come to Hollywood, we get cast dealers and criminals and gangbangers. And it's like, that's fucked up. Like, that's really like, you know, 2022, that should not be the case. You know,
right, exactly.
And I like that he deals with that as well. And again, I think Ryan Coogler picked someone who was just, you know, perfect to challenge that role, you know.
Yeah, and just like a super humble guy, right? Like every interview that I've seen, he's just he gives a lot of thanks to Ryan and the cast. Because I mean it wouldn't be possible without them, right? So yeah. I appreciate everything he says. I'm excited for his book, which I think has already come out, right?
Yeah, it's already come out. Yeah. I got a copy. Yeah. So, Orgullo Preto. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's dope. So, I mean, yeah, I want to see more of them, right? Whether it's in this type of space or in other things, like, I definitely want to see more of them.
I am really hoping to, next year, I plan on going to any con that he's at nearby.
Oh, and interviewing him.
And interviewing him because I would love to sit down for like 15 minutes and just ask him a bunch of questions. And like, and I just really think he's just so dope. I just, you know, and I think that his character, you know, because there's a lot of comparisons to Killmonger. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of that. I can see why they compare him to Killmonger, but I don't think that's fair. I think he's his character buildup was different than Killmonger's, and and again he's not a political figure, he's a god, right? And I think M'Baku's character talks about that in the movie. He says, hey, he's not a general, he's not a king, he's a god, and we have to respect him as such, because if we do kill him, then we're gonna always be at war, right? And I thought that was real interesting that he said that. And I like that they incorporate the Mayan gods into it. I thought that was really fucking dope.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, thinking about the scenes in the movie, I think one of the most powerful scenes for me was when he took the princess underwater and she got to see his world, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just, man, I mean, I'm pretty sure I was crying at that
point. No, it was dope. Like, I was like,
yeah. I'm like, dang, like it just, I don't know, like it hit different. And also, like, I mean, I'm Mexican American, right? So I'm very into my indigenous roots and culture and ancestry and all that. So for me, it was like even more powerful. I'm like, damn, like this is like, it felt real. You know what I mean?
I love the fact that it was the actors that was like, hey, we're going to use this symbol of how we hold our hands in salute, which is a Mayan symbol. It's not all the Mayan, the ancient Mayan pictographs. They said, we're going to do that. And they was like, oh, fuck it. Let's go with it. Like everybody, like, let's go. Everybody was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I thought that was really dope. I thought that was really cool that the actors came up with that, you know, a 10 or 12 time. They never said who started it, but they kind of like all agreed upon doing that. So that was kind of like their salute. And I thought that was really dope that it came from the actors, you know, versus the writers.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. I didn't know that it came from the actors.
It came from the actors. And so I thought, that, I was like, oh, that's really dope. That's really like, really cool that they did that. And it kind of like help create their own, you know, kind of like how they, yeah, how they interact with each other. So that was dope. But yeah, that scene in the water, like, and I was, again, I was worried about that. I was like, I wonder how it's going to come out. I don't want it to look like it did in Atlantis. Like, cause I didn't like that too tough. And you know, on the DC side, and I was like, but they, the way they did it was very realistic. It's dope. You know, the stuff that they went through, the training they had to go through,
holding their breath underwater and for many of them learning how to swim, right? I mean, that's a whole thing in itself. So yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, like the stuff they had to do for that. You know, but that's not trying to, that's pretty much why a lot of actors don't sign on to Disney to do these movies, because there's a lot of training that takes them away from like other movies and other projects.
Yeah.
So you hear about, you know, when homie did Shang-Chi, that was a year of training, 8 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So it was kind of like he really couldn't focus on any other projects, you know.
That low-key, that was a great film too, actually.
Oh, yeah. That was an amazing film.
Shout out to our Asian brothers and sisters, right? Yeah. I mean, just the representation. And I mean, it was great. I thought it was a really good movie.
I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I liked how they kind of touched on the immigrant experience. You know, yes, like I thought that was really like we could all relate to the immigrant experience, how your folks want you to come here and become a doctor or a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't. So I thought that was real interesting to see that interaction. Like, oh, snap. Like, you know, I thought that was interesting. But going back to Wakanda Forever, the part that touched me was the origin story of Namor and his people, the Talokan. I thought that was interesting. They showed, you know, the conquistadors coming through and his interaction with them and what made him have that foreign policy of isolationism that, you know, Wakanda had adopted as well.
Right.
So I thought that was though very, very ill, like, you know, and then seeing his interaction with his mother. I thought the birthing scene in the water was beautiful too.
That was a really beautiful scene. And again, when we're talking about the conquistador type, you know, scene or whatever, I mean, that's real, right?
It's real.
I mean,
that happened, this, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I really appreciated those parts of the movie where there was really a lot of realism to it. And I found Tenoch to be such a man of wisdom. And even in his conversations that he had with the princess and, you know, kind of saying like, hey, like, we should really come together because it's not going to be good for you. Like I've been here, done that type thing, you know? And I thought powerful.
And you know, he's supposed to be like 500 years old, right?
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be wise, right? He's supposed to be like, hey, you know, he's a god too. Like, so he's used to like, hey, look, what I'm going to say to you is, you know, you got to listen. And I thought it was dope how he approached it. Again, going back to the first movie where when T'Challa, when he reveals to Everett Ross, the CIA agent, like, hey, I'm about to open up the borders. And Everett Ross says, hey, I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I remember I was like, because people were hating on Everett Ross. Like, nah, if you go to the first movie, he actually was like, hey, hold on, bro. That's a bad idea. I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should open the borders of Wakanda to the world. I don't think that's a good idea. And then we see the ramifications of that decision in Wakanda Forever, because the first thing Namor says is like, hey, your son revealed vibranium and now everybody wants it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then later on he tells Shuri, you know, I knew that the plan that I've been preparing for hundreds of years, I knew it had to happen. I've been preparing my people for this for hundreds of years. I knew it was going to happen when you guys revealed vibranium to the world.
Yeah.
And I thought that was real interesting. Like, I was like, wow, a great way to tie it into the first movie. How all the ramifications, decisions that T'Challa made in Black Panther 1 affected other people.
Did you have any issues with the script? Like, was there anything that you were like, ah, I don't know if that really makes sense
Because, and the reason why I say that is because this is one of the few Marvel movies that you had to watch the first one to understand it. So, for example, you could watch Doctor Strange 2 and not have seen Doctor Strange 1. You could watch Ant-Man 2 and not have seen Ant-Man 1. You could watch Captain America Winter Soldier and never seen Captain America, right? Don't get me wrong. For you to watch Avengers 1, you got to watch all these movies. For you to watch Avengers 2, you got to watch all these movies. But to watch, like, the individual movies of the different characters, you don't have to really watch the first one. Even Thor, like, you can watch Thor Ragnarok and not seen Thor 1 and 2, mm-hmm. right? Don't get me wrong, you got to watch Endgame, you have to watch all those movies, but you had to watch Black Panther 1 to really get, okay, this makes sense, right? So people would say, oh, Everett Ross got too much shine. Look, it's a Disney movie. All Marvel movies, they're going to have characters, they're going to see how people like them to make the next movie, right? So they had Riri Williams in there because they're going to make a Disney Plus show of her.
Okay. Right?
But then again, if we want to go there, they put Black Panther in Civil War to see how people will like him. And people went nuts. They said, you know what? We're going to make a movie. And that's just part of the Marvel machine that you have to learn to live with.
I mean, you know better than me, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I don't really know like all the ins and outs of it, but, I'm not saying that the script didn't make sense. It was interesting because when I was talking about this with someone else who's not of Latinx, right, not of Latino heritage, he almost felt like they made Namor's character like too much, like too aggressive, like some girl made this thing to find the vibranium or whatever, and now like he's like, we gotta kill her, like. Like, it was like, wait, like, hold on. Like, why do we have to kill her? And you know what I mean?
Well, so, Killmonger said that to Shuri. He said, your dad would have killed her.
Did he say that?
Yeah. When she came to see him, she said, your father's a hypocrite. He would have killed that girl. Because he killed my father. He killed
That's
my
right.
father.
That's
and
right.
remember, his father was fucking around with Claw. Right? Mm-hmm. A villain. That's why he's a traitor. He's like, you got to come back to Wakanda. You got to face your crimes. Because you was with a traitor. You were a traitor to the country. You know what I mean? So, like, he said it. Your dad would have killed that girl. You know what I mean? And I'm like, which again, we have to stop looking at them as superheroes and you have to look at them as politicians.
Interesting. Right? Well,
Shuri's a princess. She's not a superhero. T'Challa is a king. He's not a superhero. He just happens to be the Black Panther, right? So, which what I like about this movie is they actually at the end, and Baku becomes the king, and Shuri's the Black Panther. They're like, hey, we got to separate this, right?
Right.
Because they're part. You know, Namor is not only is he a god, he's the ruler of Talokan, and his job is to fight villains. His job is to fight stupid. His job is to protect his people. That's his number one job. Right.
This is a really great perspective. I definitely wasn't thinking about it that way because I'm just thinking like, oh, Marvel superheroes. Right. Mm. But no, you're right. I mean, they're like Namor was essentially like the president of his community. Right. Yeah. I mean, he was in charge. Yeah.
And his job isn't to like, so his job is to be like, well, I got to fight crime. Right. I'm not here to fight crime. Really. Really, if Thanos pulled up, he probably wouldn't have fought against Thanos. He's like, he ain't got beef with my peoples, right? So, so you got beef with his peoples, you know, then, you know, it's funny because even Shuri says when they kill that guard, Shuri was like, let's save her. Because if we don't save her, this is an act of war.
She says it.
She's like, this is an act of, if we don't save this child, this is going to be an act of war. And she's like, nah, we don't got time for that. Let's go. You know, and, you know, Namor took that as an act of war. You killed one of my peoples.
Right.
And then he can't fall back on his threat. He has to pull through. He's a politician.
Right.
Right. And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
no,
you,
that's
you
real.
Know, you know,
yeah.
Like,
I didn't
you know,
think about it. That
and
way.
I tell people that I'm like, well, he's not, you know, that's the queen. You got to look at her as the queen of Ramunda. She's the queen of Wakanda. You know what I mean? She's the princess of Wakanda. They are political figureheads, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's how you got to look at it, you know? So he asked him, he said, hey, do this for me and don't tell nobody who we are. right?
Right.
And then they were playing around. And he was like, look, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill you. You know, so which, I mean, villains, I don't think he's a villain, but villains do that yeah. all the time, right? They say, hey,
right.
do this or this is going to happen to you. And yeah. I just feel like he carried, one of the things I liked about him was he didn't play around. He was just like, hey, nah, we're not doing that. And that's why I liked his character so much. I was just, which is actually one of the things that they took from the comics, is he's the same way in the comics. He's like, look, I don't play around, you know.
And I think even Tenoch himself, right? I mean, yeah. he's kind of like a no bullshit type guy. Like mm-hmm. he's just out there like telling people what it is, right?
Yeah,
the real exactly. deal. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, that perspective.
Exactly. And that's how we got. And it's funny because in the comic book, that's how they all play. T'Challa and Shuri, they're all like, look, we're politicians, you know, and a lot of times they make decisions that are against the heroes because they're like, look, this is Wakanda. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm the king of Wakanda. Yeah, I'm the Black Panther, but I'm also the king of Wakanda. I have political interests, you know, yeah. that circumvent anything else, you know?
Right.
So I thought, you know, I tell you that you got to look at it from that perspective. You know.
So how did you feel about the scene with them kind of coming together, right? So you have this fight scene between the princess and between Namor. She essentially wins, right? But then she's kind of like, okay, we got to stop this, right? We got to like get our people together. And so then there's the scene where it's like them together and they're kind of like, they're stopping the war, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think like and correct me if I'm wrong again, I'm not like watching all these superhero movies all the time, okay?
Oh, you're good,
like,
you're good.
But like most of the time, isn't there usually like someone dies, someone wins, someone loses, right? This one felt more like they were sort of coming together. No one's dying as far as like, you know, the main characters. The
main characters, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. How did you feel about that?
No, I thought it was a dope. Here's... The thing is that this story is about Shuri, right? This mm-hmm. this is about Shuri's character development. It really is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
because
no,
because
right.
she's going to be the queen now, right? She's going to be the Black Panther, right? Mm-hmm. So it was her character development. If you noticed in the beginning, you know, her mother, she's like, Mom, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Right? I don't believe in any of that stuff. And her mother even challenges her. So what is your, she's like, what he tells the mother, he says, she says, Mom, these are just things that we create. These are simulations that we, sound like that to that effect. These are simulations that we create to make us feel better, right? And then she yeah. says to her, you know, what is a simulation your mind has created to cope with this? And that's when Namor shows up, right? So then that's why when she goes to the ancestral plane, she sees Killmonger, you know? And,
yeah.
and Killmonger even tells her, you don't believe in any of this stuff, right? Let me go back. When she's with her mother, she tells her mother, I want to see the world burn. Right?
Right.
Who says that in part one?
Killmonger. I don't remember. Killmonger. Okay.
Killmonger says, I want to burn it all. I want to yeah. burn it all. He says, I want to burn it all. Right? So when she sees Killmonger, he says, you're more like me than your brother. Right?
Right.
And then now we got to go back to Captain America's Civil War, where T'Challa is about to kill the man that killed his father. And he says, vengeance has consumed us, right? And this is not justice. I can't be right. I can't be like you. Same thing happens with Shuri. She's vengeance has consumed her. As a matter of fact, before they go fight Lupita Nyong'o's character, she stops her. Who did you see in the ancestral plane? She said, I saw Killmonger. And she yeah. says, the vengeance has consumed you. You can't do this like this, right? So she fights no more, and then at the end, she like yield. You know, she doesn't kill him, right?
Right.
Matter of fact, her mother from the ancestral plane says, show them who you are, right? Which is a throwback to her brother who could have killed that dude, but he didn't, right?
That's so, right, yeah.
So what's her character development? It's a throwback to T'Challa, right? And I tell people, because I tell people all the time, the issue with Killmonger's character is when it comes to white supremacist capitalist patriarchy, vengeance is not going to liberate us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Vengeance,
mm-hmm.
We can't just go out and just kill every white person we see. That's not going to liberate us. If anything, that's going to make us just like them. Right?
Right.
That's going to make us oppressors.
Right. Yeah.
So,
very true.
So her thing was, we can't use vengeance. That's not how we're going to liberate our people. That's just not. And I tell people that we got to, vengeance is not the way. Right. It's not. And I'm not saying we got to be peaceful and all that. It's just that, you know, so if you come and kill somebody in my family, right, me killing somebody in your family, it's not going to fix that. It's going to make it worse. Right.
That's not. It's the cycle, right? It's the cycle. It's like you can't get out of the cycle.
You can't get out of the cycle. And she could have easily killed Namor. And you know, and Baku said it. And Baku said, we will be in a forever war. And, and Baku was like, I don't want my people to be in a forever war. I'm not ready for that. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, I was like, wow, he's right. He's right. He said, he's not. He even said it. He's not a general. He's not a king. He's Kuku Kang. He's their serpent guy. Mm-hmm. And if you kill him, we're going to be in a forever war. You know? Yeah. And I was like, man, that is such a good point. She had to figure out a different way.
You know? No. Yeah, for sure. I mean, so kind of going away a little bit from like the Marvel and the history and all that. No. I know. You want to geek out. It's all good.
It's not even a geek out. It's just I'm the one that said geek out, not you. But it's not even a geek out. I've had this discussion before with people in my community, right? And I said that if we fight white supremacist capitalist patriarchy the same way that the oppressors have fought us, then we are oppressors.
No, I agree with you 100%.
You know, and that's kind of like the message that I got from Shuri's character development. Mm-hmm. And the reason why T'Challa and Killmonger were on opposite ends of the field is because Killmonger wanted vengeance by any means necessary. Right? He even killed his own girlfriend, right? And he said it, I'll burn it all. And then Shuri said, I want to see the world burn.
Right.
And her mother was like, oh my God, I can't believe my child is, her face, like, I can't believe my child is saying this. You know, imagine your child turns to you and says, I just want to burn the world.
Well, especially because her mother knew that was not her true character.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Well, I do really appreciate just in general from the film and the character sort of this like black and brown pride, and that also sort of like coming together in a way. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that was something that I really took from the film, just kind of like, I don't know, not to be like mushy about it, right? But just sort of, you know, but just sort of this idea of like we can like be in this fight together, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really powerful, and just like that scene with Shuri and Namor and like calming their people down. I don't know. I thought there was something really powerful just in that image of the two of them, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I really appreciated that aspect.
But you said something that was very important. I like the fact that it wasn't an ending I saw coming. Right?
Yeah.
Like it was different. And I think that's what separates it from other movies, right? Where you said it yourself. You said somebody usually dies and then it's like, oh, this is where we're going. But it was like, oh, maybe there's another door. There's another alternative. And I thought that was a really dope way. And you know, I like the fact that it also opens up the door for other possibilities in other stories. You know, it leaves it open. But I like it. I like that there's this ally. You know, it's an uncomfortable allyship, right?
Yeah.
But it's an ally. It's an allyship that we can look forward to.
Yeah, I almost, like, for me, I loved it, right? Like, I was super engaged in the movie the whole time, and I love, you know, the ending and the way that it played out. I wonder, though, for others who were going to the movie because they wanted to see, like, a bunch of action and somebody to die at the end, I wonder if they had the same feeling, you know?
I know that a lot of people have issues with the writing, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You know, again, they felt like, well, if they killed Killmonger, they should have killed him, you know. And but, you know, but even but then I always remind people that in Black Panther, Killmonger chose to die. Because he didn't want to be locked up.
Yeah. Right?
He chose that. It wasn't, T'Challa didn't give that to him. He chose that. Right. And T'Challa just followed that. Right. So, again, every Marvel movie, every superhero movie ends the same way. right? The villain dying, or right. you know, and a main character from the superhero side dying. So you are 100% absolutely right, and I want to see more movies like that where there's a different ending than what we expect.
Yeah,
you know.
And I mean, I think it's important to, like, just thinking about, I don't know, like, the youth seeing this film, right? Like, our sons and our daughters. I think it's important that they see films like this, right? You sort of have your action and the superhero vibe, but you also have, like, real shit.
Yeah, yeah. Being talked like the, about, like the right? grief. Like the grief. Like, the there's grief, this consistent, right. you know, this grieving. And it's a process, right? It's a process.
And especially like if we're getting into grief and all that, especially in our Black and Brown communities where grief and mental health and your mental well-being aren't as always talked about, right? It's kind of like a taboo thing, I feel like.
I'm going to go a step further and say that we are never allowed to fully grieve, right?
Right.
We are
right.
never allowed to go through the grieving process like we should, right? Because there's a lot of death in our community, right?
Right.
Whether it's poor health or gun violence. And a lot of times it's like, you know, someone is murdered in November and then someone's murdered in December. And it's kind of like, you're not really allowed to grieve, you know, the last person, you know? And it's like, and it's funny because, you know, the not that funny, but when they're like, hey, we burn the clothes you wore at the funeral a year later, right? To commemorate yeah. that person, but also say that we have to move on from this process. And I thought that was really important because they at least have a timetable, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying you need a timetable, but it's just that I don't think we're allowed that space to breathe, to grieve like we're supposed to. And that's very unhealthy.
Super unhealthy because we almost become numb to it, yes, right? We just yes. become numb to the, especially yes. to the unnecessary deaths in yes. our community, right? Yes. And that's definitely not a good thing. And then just, I mean, even just crying, right? Like, mm-hmm. so I know you're a crier.
Yes.
I know you're not afraid to show your emotions. I'm the same way. Like I cry at whatever. But I think like in our communities, even that is sometimes like, bro, why are you crying? Like, suck it up, you know?
Yeah. 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 And
but
I,
yeah.
And I think,
but that, yeah.
Cause like we haven't really grieved over COVID.
Man.
Right. We haven't really. We just went right back. We went right back to everybody go back to work. Let's go right back to business. Let's go. And we haven't really like processed all of that. You know what I mean? And I think the movie kind of tells us like, hey, let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Let's slow down a little bit. And let's, you know, all these people that, you know, and it's just like. So what happens in Wakanda is, you know, T'Challa, you know, first of all, their father passed away. Then T'Challa passed, you know, then they had the blip. Right, they had a blip where T'Challa disappeared.
Right.
Right. Then he comes back and then he dies a year later. And then mm-hmm. Queen Ramonda dies. And it's kind of like, well, hold on. We got to really slow it down and really let's do that, you know.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand why the queen had to die. Why did we have to kill off the queen?
It's part of Shuri. I agree with you because I love Angela Bassett. Two things that happened. One in the movie and one behind the scenes. Number one, this is about Shuri's development,
yeah.
right? And all Marvel characters, a relative has to pass away for you to go to your rites of passage, to go to your hero story. Shout out to Joseph Campbell. Read the book, A Hero with a Thousand Faces. He talks about that's part of the hero's journey, right?
Okay.
Luke Skywalker had to lose his surrogate parents. You know, like that's part of the hero's journey. But also she has to become queen. You know what I mean? She has to become queen of Wakanda. Yeah. So that had to happen. But I think that was a way for Angela, because, you know, again, a lot of these actors will tell you doing these Marvel films are exhausting, right? They're mm-hmm. exhausting because you got to do like a year of promo work promoting the movie before it releases and after it releases in all the markets around the world. And you got to do all this training. You got to do all this stuff. You know, you got to learn new languages. So not only did Tenochtitlan have to learn how to swim, they had to learn the Mayan language.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you have to learn how to speak it fluently. So you got to go to school for that. Like you got to go to. So on top of that, you know, remember that the cast, the Wakanda, the royal family, they have to learn Xhosa. Right, mm-hmm. That's the South African language with the clicks. That's the one with the clicks in it, mm-hmm. right? So,
wow,
everybody,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, everybody has to learn all this stuff and it's exhausting. So I think Angela Bassett was like, hey, I'm ready to bow out. You know, so here's a way for me to write me out the script so I don't have to be doing this anymore. You know, that's what homeboy that played Captain America, he was trying to get out of his contract for years because he wants to be a director. Wow. He wants to direct indie films, but doing all this Avengers stuff, you're consistently on the road, promoting, staying in shape, doing press, all that stuff.
It's consuming. Like, yeah,
it's consuming. So you want to be, you know, he didn't get into the business to be a blockbuster sex hero. He came in to become an actor and win Academy Awards. That's what he came into it, you know. So he wants to do those kind of indie films, but being in the Marvel machine, the Disney machine, you just don't have time for that.
I mean, I guess that all makes sense. But again, just from a person sitting in the audience who doesn't really know all the history behind it, I'm like, damn, why we gotta go kill the queen? Like, I don't know. That was a little different for me. But no, I get it. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you a question, because this has sort of been floating around the internet. I don't know what's true and what's not true, so I definitely need like a little history lesson here. Have you heard this romantic connection between Namor and Shuri?
They call it shipping, right? They call it like when there's two characters or two people, two regular people, and everybody tries to ship them. They're trying to make them. It happens all the time. You've seen it.
Well, yeah. I know what that means.
And it was a shipping. People were saying it's a shipping, but no. Again, it's politics, right? When you are politicians, it happens even on the state level, right? When I'm trying to convince you to vote on a particular bill, what am I going to do? I am going to woo you. I'm going to find out what is it that Katie B. Fly likes. Oh, she likes daffodils. So let me send her a bouquet of daffodils. You know, oh my God.
I like liquor.
I'm just an example. Yeah, I know you no, like liquor. I know. But just an example, I'm going to look, do my aides are going to do the research and be like, oh, she likes daffodils. This is her favorite restaurant. Da-da-da-da. So I'm like, hey, KDB Fly, let me take this. This happened to me recently, by the way. Right. You know, they're going to take you to your favorite restaurant. I'm going to wine and dine you. I'm going to make you feel good. And then I'm going to say, hey, Katie, what's up? I need you to sign this bill. I need you to co-sponsor this bill with me. It right. happens all the time. And that's what he was doing. Let me give you my mom's bracelet. Right? Oh my God.
He gave her the bracelet.
But the idea was to form an alliance that lasted forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And to do those kind of things, you have to. So I saw it as more like not him trying to holler, but him trying to create this political friendship. And politicians do it all the time. They woo you, they give you everything. They, you know, like so. I didn't get that. I didn't get that vibe that he was trying to get with her. I took it as I'm trying to look. I could do it two ways. I could either say, "Look, motherfucker, you're gonna sign up with me today, or we go wipe you off the face of the earth," or or I can woo you. You are the young, like your mother. I probably can't because she's older. She's a little bit more stubborn. She's a lot more savvier than you are, but you're the younger one. You're in line. I can woo you and make you see the bright side of this alliance and get you on my side.
Okay, well, I understand like the wooing you for political reasons, but isn't that what you do in relationships too? I mean, you put your best face forward, you're giving them roses, you're taking them out to dinner, you're doing all that shit, right? I mean, aren't you kind of doing the same thing, whether it's a political motive or a romantic motive?
I don't look at romance as something similar to politics, right? I look at, you know, maybe the original intent of marriages and the original intent of marriages were political and economic reasons. That is a fact. There is no denying that history, right? But I feel like when it comes to my new emphasis on love, shout out to the late, great Dr. Bell Hooks. My new emphasis of love is for nurturing and fostering community, not for me to try to create a political alliance with different families. right?
Well, yeah, I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
No,
you know,
that's for sure. Yeah, that's how it should be. Now, but, now, but it doesn't always happen that way.
Don't get me wrong. A easier way to create a political alliance is to marry the heir to the empire. Yes.
Right.
That is true. But there's no actual love in that. That's just all for politics.
Right.
But I took it as because he didn't do that to Ramonda, because when he met her, she was like, get out my face. Right.
Yeah.
So he was like, let me go to Shuri. Let me tell her my story, because she has lost, too. Right.
Yeah. And she's younger and more impressionable. Yeah, than that
exactly.
Whole thing.
And that's how I took that as. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no truth then, because I don't know if this article was correct or not, but the article said that Ryan Coogler had a sort of romantic scene in the film and he took it out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he could have. We'll wait for the DVD and we'll see the deleted scenes, and I could be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it could just be to kind of like play with people and like, you know, everyone's kind of worked up about the two of them and what it means. So
because I know that Tim Noach is now the new sex idol right now. He's going to be Marvel's sex idol for a very long time. Rightly so.
I don't know. He's an attractive man.
No. Trust me.
Yes and no.
No,
trust me. You think so?
No. I know. So the ladies love him.
I know, I see the ladies.
They love him. Of all races, colors, and creeds and ages. You know what I'm saying?
You think so?
I know so. I've had many women tell me, like, yo, I'm like, okay.
Oh my God.
And rightly so. He's an attractive man.
Right.
You know, like he got me, like, yo, I gotta hold it down. Like I wanna cosplay as him, but I gotta get my weight up. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, like, so yep. But he got me looking, buying different color, different kinds of boxer briefs. Like, oh, okay, you know, they had to.
Oh my goodness!
Hold on. Did you know that they had to Photoshop his crotch
to make it smaller?
To make it smaller, yes. There's pictures online.
This is too much.
There's pictures online. They show his actual how it actually looks. So the women are going crazy. Yeah, the women are going nuts. So like he is, and you know what? And Disney's gonna run with it. Disney's like, yo, let's go. They're gonna run with it, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, but he was also getting body shamed too. Like his back wasn't, like he wasn't as muscular as
He was body shamed by men who are jealous. He wasn't body shamed by women.
This is true.
He was body shamed by gym bros.
That's very true, because I firmly believe that most women don't really give a shit about all that, right? Yep, like at the end of the day, you just want a nice person. You know, physical attraction and all that is important as well. But like the super like jacked up, like ripped, like six pack, whatever, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary, yeah.
Yeah, no, and you're right. He was getting body shamed by men.
I'm glad that homeboy from the new Batman, he addressed that. He was like, I'm not doing all that weight training. No, I'm not doing that.
Everybody
don't need to have the A-pack.
Exactly.
He addressed that. And you know what? He did very well in that movie. You know what I'm saying? He did very well. And I thought that was dope. But I thought, you know, like, you know, I'm one of those people that are like, all bodies don't need to look the same to be fit. I'm one of those people. Like, you don't need to look, you should be happy in your own body and you could still be fit. And I thought his body was dope. I was like, oh, he's dope. You know, and I would like to see more bodies like him, because that's actually the way his body looked is actually very attainable. You know,
it's relatable. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sure. But I thought he looked great. And, but I'm telling you, man, the women online, they going crazy. Like, you know, they're like, yeah. And once I don't know how those photos leaked, or the Photoshopping. I don't know how that leaked.
Oh my God.
It's all over the internet. Like, yeah, they Photoshopped it, you know.
That's wild.
Yep.
But, yikes. So before we get off here, can we touch on, you mentioned Blue Beetle, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. So yeah. I'm excited because I love that in the comic books, they went with a Latinx character. And then what happened was in the Young Justice series, which is a great series to watch if anybody's out there. It's now on HBO Max. They moved it from, it used to be on Cartoon Network, and they went to Netflix, and they went to HBO Max. They made him, the character was originally white, but then they changed it up and they made him a Latinx character, Jaime Reyes. Mm-hmm. So I love that they changed that, and I love that they adapted into the cartoons. I thought that was dope. And then they got my boy Sholo Mariduena playing him. He's the guy that's in Cobra Kai, who I love. I love him.
Miguel.
Yeah. If you watch Cobra Kai, oh, you would love Cobra Kai.
I haven't watched it.
Oh my God.
I feel like there's been a couple of people tell me, like, yes, you need to watch this show. I just haven't watched it.
And just watch it for Sholo Mariduena, just because he is so fucking dope in that shit. Like, quite honestly, I think he's the best actor on the show.
Okay.
I think I really, hands down, then again, Ralph Macchio was never like, he wasn't never like a great actor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I honestly believe that he is the best actor on the show. So he's going to play, and it's funny because I remember when I was watching Cobra Kai, this is the only casting I ever got right, because I'm bad at casting. I said, if they ever do Blue Beetle, he will make a great Jaime Reyes. And when they made him, I was like, yes, I have to watch it now. So now, don't get me wrong, I'm mad at DC because they're like trying to make it like their Black Panther. Like DC's trying to make it like their Black Panther, and I don't like that. I just let it go. Just let it be its own thing.
Right, like just do your thing, DC.
Yes, basically. Do your thing. So it's coming out in 2023. It literally has like all my favorite Latinx actors. I know I'm being hypocritical, but it has everybody from the Mayan Motorcycle Club spinoff series.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you ever watched that.
Well, I know who's in it. I know the people you're talking about.
All my fave Latinx characters are going to be in this Blue Beetle movie. So that's another reason why I'm excited.
That's dope.
So, but I can't wait for it to, it comes out next year. It's going to be really dope. And again, I'm just a big fan of Sholo Mariduena. I'm just a big fan of his. And he is going to be, in 10 years, he's going to be like the person, like the actor. Because he can act his ass off.
This is what I'll say about that. I'm sure he's great. I'm not taking anything away from him. But for me, like, seeing Tenoch with his brown skin, you don't always get to see that. And even in this guy who's going to be playing the Blue Beetle or whatever, he's a fair skin.
Yeah, he's fair skin. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not hating on that, right? I understand it, and I'll support it and all of that. But, you know, I'm still like, damn, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? For me, it's Tenoch.
It's what we discussed in the last episode you was on, right? Like, yes. I agree. You know, but I'm just a big fan of Sholo, and I like seeing him. So I'm really rooting for him. So, but you're right. You're 100% right. Again, I'm being hypocritical this time that, you know, they have, if you look at the cast, a lot of them are fair skinned. A lot of them could pass for white, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's fucked up again. DC, you had a chance to really do something different, and you chose not to. Because I know they have Susan Sarandon is in it, and I'm just like, wait a second. Like, she's like a main character. I'm like, wait a second, you know.
Yeah, like we could have done more there, maybe. Yeah, not necessarily with the main character. Again, I'm sure he's wonderful, but there's probably more that could have been done. Mm-hmm. I want to know when they're going to come out with Miles Morales, like with his own,
they are gonna do it with the it's coming out next. Is it this year? It's two parter. They're going to do the Into the Spider-Verse sequel. It's a two parter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna do part two and part three. He's gonna be like, and they're gonna actually have the Mexican. I hate to say Mexican. The Mexican Spider-Man, the 2099 Spider-Man is Mexican.
Oh, for real?
So he's gonna be in part two and part three.
Oh wow.
So yeah, so that's good. But I mean, it's gonna be the cartoon, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Well, and again, for me, it's like Miles Morales represented this Afro Latino character that we don't always get to see, you know. So
just wanna throw something out there to all my light skinned Latinx folks that Lupita Nyong'o is Afro Latinx.
She is.
But nobody bringing that shit up. She was born in Mexico City.
No, I know. I know.
I know you know. But when they be like, oh, and I'm like, well, Lupita Nyong'o, you know. She's, you know, like, yeah. So that's you know, that's Bae.
Which out oh for sure outside yeah. of Namor, I mean, she's my favorite character, mm-hmm. hands mm-hmm. down. Like when she came on screen, I was like, oh my god, you are yes. so beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Yeah.
So
she's
Bae. Freaking beautiful. She's Bae, I'm like, yes, dang, definitely. Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's wonderful.
So yep. But yeah. anything else you want to discuss or?
No, I mean, I think I'm proud of the film. Same. I feel like it was great. I want to go see it again. I really don't have anything negative to say about it. I thought the representation was awesome. I think Thanos is awesome. What he spreads, what he says, what he talks about, I think is so needed. And yeah, I mean, I appreciate the film, Ryan Coogler. The entire cast was amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
And the cinematography was really dope. Like the cinematography. Shout out to Hannah Beekler from Centerville, Ohio, graduated from Rice State University. She is also did the theatrical, she did the theater production on this one and Black Panther. She got it. Actually, she won the Academy Award for Black Panther. But hopefully she gets nominated this time. Again,
that's amazing.
Yeah, but she's from Centerville. Shout out to you, Hannah Beekler. Hopefully I get to meet you and interview you one day. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate you doing a little deep dive mm-hmm. with me on this. I'm like, I need to talk to someone from the Latinx perspective so we can just go in on this. So it was good.
And I'm a Tenoch Huerta super fan. Stan, I'm a Stan. So yeah.
No, me too. Yeah, so I mean, Stan, so like, yeah. I like. Can you imagine if you just saw him out one day? Like, so, I would probably like fangirl out.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find out where he's going to be at next year, like all the cons, and yeah. the one that's nearby. I'm going to let you know, and we'll go.
We'll I'm go down.
Together. We'll go together.
I'm down. Like, yeah. I'm down.
We'll go together, and that way we could lock him down, and we can interview him, you know, for like 15 minutes, and then go from there. So like,
oh, that would be so dope. Yeah, if we could interview him.
Yeah, that would be dope. Dang. So,
okay.
Yep. Anything we'll else see. You want to add on before we go? Any
No, I think that's it. I think. Did you have anything else?
No, nothing else. I'll probably do a deeper dive into yeah. like the I would like to do more politics stuff, but I think FD Signify does a better job than me on it. I don't want to get into it. And then I did do an interview with my boy Sekou. We did a panel on it. So, but I'll probably do another one where we geek it. So everybody out there, there'll probably be more. But how can they get a hold of you on their social media?
KDB Fly, TikTok.
Okay, cool. Oh, I didn't know you was on TikTok.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not really on it.
Okay, all right.
But that's my one social media that I'm on all the time. Doesn't mean I necessarily post all the time, but yeah.
Because I'm on TikTok finally. Your man's Pretty Flacco. I'm on there, so I'm gonna have to find you on there. So I didn't know because I do be posting. For sure. So yeah, so definitely like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. So okay, that's good to know. So
yeah, but
thank you again, KDB Fly. This was so dope. I appreciate you.
Yes, no, thank you. I appreciate you, my Dominican brother. Always good conversation.
And we got to link up, and I apologize yes. for that one day. You know, it was just last minute stuff. Like, I really can't do like.
No, it's all good. Yeah. I've been talking to Yetunde, and we're gonna get together here.
Because I work on the weekends. Yeah, I work on the weekends now. I work Friday and Saturday nights. So, I'll tell you about it offline. Okay. But yeah, so it's like. But I mean, if you tell me in advance, like last weekend, I went to oh my God, I can't believe I forgot it. I went to a con in Columbus with my niece. It was a blast. And then this weekend, I'm taking her ice skating. So I usually kind of like plan my stuff in advance because she's never been ice skating. So
yeah, that'll be fun.
So definitely. So thank you again. Word is
yes, born. Thank you.
Peace. Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com.
and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, O-M-I-S Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show, because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm going to check y'all out the next episode. Word.